Look at him. So angry.
All angry.
He's fired up.
Fourth grader-ish.
He's fired up.
Nice job, Mike Smith.
Good job, Mike Smith. You did a good job there, eh?
Hey.
Don't you know?
Hey, I heard what a hoser is. Do you know what a hoser is?
It's a Canadian fireman. They hose things down.
Hmm.
No?
Good try. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Ving. In this show, my man, James Tape Leg Grayling, and I will discuss the last 9 games since our last show. We will break down the Avalanche's moves at the trade deadline. We'll talk about why firing Joe Sacco may not solve all of this team's issues. Those topics and a bunch more Avalanche and NHL stuff coming at you in episode number 79 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Ving. James Tape Leg Grayling is here with me as always. Hi, James.
Raymond Bork.
What's going on?
Raymond Bork.
Are you reliving the old memories of when hockey was good in the Mile High City?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. He's blocking it out, ladies and gentlemen. He has blocked it out.
Maybe
that's the safest way to do it.
Oh, man, we got so much of a show.
We got a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of show.
And we've already been accused of maybe being altitude employees if we make it positive.
Yeah. Great Baldy One on Twitter said, if you do a positive podcast, I will label you an altitude employee and you will be subject to fierce ridicule. If I were an altitude employee, I would like to be subjected to that fierce paycheck. But we don't get paid for this. So you
no,
know
we
what?
We don't.
We're gonna say it like it is.
We're going to bring it. We're going to bring the thunder.
On episode what?
Number 79 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche. Nobody wore 79. We don't have time to play around with this number, so we're just going to keep going.
Yeah, this is the who's actually playing for this team edition.
There you go.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Who is playing? Anyone?
Matt Duchene shows up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to talk a little bit about Matt Duchene.
We got you covered, fans.
Oh, man, are we going to talk about Matt Duchene?
Matt Duchene's pretty awesome.
Raymond Bork. Let's do this thing.
We're going to give you a quick rundown of the game since our last show. I believe it's 9 games. The Avalanche were 2-7 in those 9 games, so you can see why this is going to be quick.
Yeah.
March 18th, Hawks at the Avalanche. Avs lose 5-2. They're down 2-0 5 minutes in.
Everybody was talking about how this was like the revenge game for the Blackhawks. Like, get us back for you know, all that, for making them lose. What revenge... I don't know. There was revenge, I guess, but...
They've still only lost 5 games in regulation all year long. It's like, revenge what?
Yeah.
We're just better than you are.
Just makes it look like more of a fluke that the Avs were the ones who actually ended the season, or ended the streak for.
I'd love for that not to be the truth, but you watch the Avalanche lately.
Yeah. Hey, have the Miami Heat lost yet?
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Yeah, I think it was to the Bulls.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let's be honest now. That streak that there was ESPN was like, well, I mean, Stephen A. Smith of ESPN should not be weighing in on hockey to begin with. But he was saying how
some say shouldn't even be weighing in on basketball, but keep going.
I agree with you on that. Still, he shouldn't even be on Cheap Seats. And that show's been canceled. Maybe he should be on that one because it is canceled. The point being, Stephen A. Smith was saying how this was not as impressive. Yeah. Or that the Blackhawks were not as impressive as the Heat. At the time, now, yeah. I mean, it's a pretty impressive streak. You win winning all those basketball games?
They both are.
Nobody knows even the rules of basketball. It doesn't make any sense.
Basketball, the league is still way more, and I'm not trying to take away anything from the Heat, but it's way more of a haves and haves not.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more parity in hockey than there is in basketball.
Well, there's the salary cap issue where they have a luxury tax, so you can overspend. You know, for Avs fans who don't understand this, overspending was what happened in the early 2000s and 90s when they were the Avs.
Huh?
Okay.
What happened?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
I'll put numbers down.
Yeah. This is one of the first times I've actually seen Joe Sacco after a game, going back to the Hawks game here, where he was kind of discouraged. I mean, he was even last night after the Avalanche lose 4-0 to the Coyotes. He didn't seem that discouraged. I mean, he might have been a little more fired up, but he just looked tired and was discouraged. But aren't we all?
Yeah.
All right, March 20th, Avs at the Stars in town against the Avalanche. Avalanche win 4-3.
Woohoo!
And they end their four-game losing streak.
Woohoo!
They were down 2-0 after one period.
Woo.
No, that's a woo. No. Oh, yeah, that is woo. Good call. Second period, goals by Mark Oliver, Gabriel Landeskog, Shorty to tie it up. Nice. Avs down 3-2 going to the third. Ryan O'Reilly, Chuck Kobisu scoring in the third. Assist to Stefan Robida's ear hole.
Now, wasn't that when they said ear hole on the altitude?
I think Mark Rycroft might have said ear
hole. No, the other guy did. Whoever, not Kyle Keefe, but the
Romero,
other
guy. Romero.
That's him. Yeah, we see him like three times, so I don't know.
Yeah, he's all right. I like Keefe Rycroft chemistry.
But yeah. But he said ear hole, and that made Rycroft laugh. And you tweeted out that, hey, that's
he stole our stuff.
Yeah.
Checks in the mail, I'm sure.
You better
so, yeah,
stick,
went off of Robida's
some other hole.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Uh-oh. There goes the G-rated show. So Robida's ear hole, official assist, Avalanche win 4-3. During this game, Jan Hayda gets into a fight with Erik Nyström.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you tweeted about it. I tweeted about it. Even before they even said something about it, they showed Nyström. Yeah, Nyström in the penalty box, kind of trying to talk to Hayda.
Mm-hmm.
Hayda wasn't paying attention. I think he was too busy cleaning off his visor and from the probably
putting his jersey back on or something.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I think it was
D.A. Parenta.
Yeah, he was in there too.
Yep.
And Nyström gave the thumbs up over to Hayda and said,
good fight.
The code. Who doesn't like the code?
I didn't like the book, The Code. Did you know there's a book called The Code about the hockey code?
I think I read it. Yeah. It was so good I forgot that I read it. Yeah.
a couple issues with it, including that I think they screwed up. I think they called the Calgary versus Edmonton rivalry the Battle of Ontario.
Whoa.
Yeah. That was
all right then.
Something like that. And then there was just some stuff in there like, hey, I never really paid attention to the hockey, but I wanted to write a book about the code.
Somebody else write a book about the code. Make everybody happy.
It'd be a pamphlet because it's pretty simple.
It is actually surprisingly simple.
It really is. It's like
you don't go with heavyweights when you're smaller.
Right.
You both have to agree. You don't fight at the end of shifts. Don't punch people while they're down.
Yep.
Tell people good fight when you get a chance.
Yeah, and it's business. It's business.
Absolutely.
You know, when it's all said and done, you can be as angry as you want to be, but it's business. I always go back to this game.
It was George Laroque.
LA Kings versus Avalanche. Cummins, Jim Cummins, gotten three fights against the same guy. The third time, the guy was like, I don't want to do this. I'm done. Yeah. Cummins gets a 5-minute major for fighting. Other dude doesn't because he was done. They already had two fights, and Jim Cummins got owned, and he kept wanting to go back and like, I'm going to make up for this. Cost the Avs the game.
You'll find it in your heart to forgive Jim Cummins someday.
When?
I don't know. You tell me.
Never.
But it was
Cummins, you and me in the square circle. Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you.
That was good. I'm with you there.
Thank you.
Was it George Laroque they had mic'd up too? And I can't remember who.
Oh, hey, you want to go? Okay, good luck.
Good luck.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like snarky, like, yeah, good luck.
Yeah. I think it was against the Coyotes.
I can't remember.
Anyways,
it's good stuff.
Point being,
we like
there's a code. And the code sometimes rocks. And, you know, sometimes it's silly. You look at the code and you go, okay, then why does there need to be fighting? If there's all these wacky rules, why does there need to be all this fighting? And, well.
Because there is.
There is.
Because there is.
Yeah.
Yep. So that was cool. Yeah. The code is cool. I put it on my notes.
Code's cool.
All right, March 23rd, little home and home. Avs at the Stars. Avs lose 5-2. Mm-hmm. Derek Roy scores 34 seconds in. Avalanche down 4-0, less than 5 minutes to go in the second period. And Varley pulled after the fourth goal.
Okay. Now, not a lot to say about that one.
Nope, March 24th.
Did Jágr score in that one?
I believe he did.
All right.
I mean, five guys scored.
Jágr.
Yeah, I don't follow Adrian Dater. I have him on a list. But when he says, I look forward to all the Boston folks trying to say Jaromir Jágr, that was good. That's the one.
Oh, yeah.
That's maybe the one tweet every few months that I find useful.
Jágr.
Jaromir Jágr.
Yama Jágr.
That's good stuff.
March 24th. Get some pizza. I worked in Boston for a few months,
awesome.
And this guy who I worked with, he never said, his name was Mark, and he introduced himself as Mac.
Mac.
He never said the letter R until the last day we were there. I swear to God. And you know when he said it? He said it at the end of the word pizza. Yeah, maybe we'll go down, we'll go get some pizza. Pizza?
What the hell are you talking
now
about,
now you're tacking
dude?
On R's at the end of words that don't even relate to R. And you,
and he said, I'm out of here.
Welcome to Boston.
Gotta go.
Get out. Avs lose. Moving on.
Awesome. March 24th, the Canucks at the Avalanche. The Avs lose 3-2. James and I were there. You remember this?
I remember this game.
What do you think?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what? It was Snyder in goal.
Mm-hmm. He's good.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. I saw him playing Boston when he was at Boston University.
That boy good.
He's not bad. I think he was BU, right? Yeah, BU.
Yeah, nice American fella. Anyways,
good, mm-hmm. Good player. I remember there was a sequence down in front of the Avs net that the Canucks just made the Avs look silly with their passing. Mm-hmm. Just tap, tap, tap. And I think they got a shot near net. It was one time or sometimes it just doesn't happen. But wow, some of the serious passing.
Mm-hmm. They were good. That's what you expect from the Sedin bots.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like I've always said, it's like they've been playing together their entire career.
Yep.
Paul Stastny hurt again. Not again. I think he had played actually in pretty much every game until then. He out 10 days, but it's been longer than 10 days. But
yeah, he's on the IR now.
He skated on his own a couple days ago, and hopefully he'll be back soon. Now, let's talk about this just a second. I didn't put this in the notes, but Gabriel Landeskog's a little bit off right now.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody goes right towards the Stastny where he goes, sucks, get rid of him, whatever. With Gabriel Landeskog, me included, I think there's something wrong with him. I think he's got some kind of an injury that nobody talks about that he's just not quite right.
Yeah.
With Stastny, right away. He slumps, get rid of him, he stinks. Is that the salary or is it just – they're both very talented, and I don't think watching the Avalanche lately, anybody can tell me that this team isn't better with Paul Stastny in the lineup because they are better with him in the lineup. But immediately people go, including myself, with Landeskog, is, boy, he can't be healthy. And then with Stastny, everybody's like, hey, he sucks. So
I think you're right about the salary part partially because it looks like a liability when in reality, again, the Avs are nowhere near – the cap.
Yeah.
Nowhere. So
who cares
how much he's making?
Yeah.
I think it's probably a production issue as well, but it really can't be considering that Stastny has 19 points and Landeskog has 12.
Well, Landeskog was out. Landeskog was out, I think, 12 games because of the concussion, too.
But actually, you know, they're five. That's only a 5-game difference, actually, at this point because Landeskog has 26 games. Stastny has 31.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a huge thing.
All right.
Now, mind you, Stastny's minus 11 and Landeskog's minus 4.
Right.
Landeskog kills penalties. I don't believe that Stastny does unless you get down to the fourth.
Well, Landeskog's got one, maybe a couple shorthanded. He scored shorthanded goals in back-to-back games. So
two shorthanded goals.
Right. So there's that too. Well, Stastny will kill penalties every once in a while too. I mean, I don't think he's the guy that'll set up a shorthanded goal. I mean, we all know how Stastny plays, but I think the PK is better with him in the lineup.
And Stastny has two power play goals and Landeskog has none.
Man.
So really, yeah, stats are kind of comparable. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's just that people are tired of, because it's not like, the storyline continues from year to year. It's not like you just push the reset every game, which would be nice because then maybe they'd play a little more with, I don't know, what's that word that starts with P when you actually like feel like doing something and showing people things?
I got pride and I got passion for you.
Could be pride.
Yeah.
If they actually
if they wore their jerseys with pride.
Yeah, but I don't know if anybody did.
Yeah, I don't know either. It was just something I thought I'd throw out there, but I found myself guilty of that. I've never been a Stastny basher. Sure, I think we'd all like him to do a little bit more, but I think he does a lot of things that people don't notice.
It's value for money at this point. And, I'm looking at, let's look at the points leaders right now. Stastny's third on points.
Right.
First on points is Parento with 37. Second is Duchesne with 36. Third is Stastny with 19. Uh-huh. That's a huge drop off.
It is.
That's a 15-point drop off between your second and third best players. That's not a team that makes each other better.
Yeah, and I think
and we're going to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, and maybe if Landeskog had been healthy all year, maybe if O'Reilly's around all year, we're talking about a different story. But we're not. So
I would not be surprised because also Landeskog not keeping his head up, got rocked a second time. I would not be surprised if he's got some lingering concussion
just
effects
a little bit.
And is just trying to play through it.
I'd go with that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, I would not be surprised if there were any issues in that direction.
Yep. All right. I thought I'd bring that up.
Right. No, good.
No
good
answers call to that, but whatever. Ryan Wilson re-injures his right ankle. He might be done for the year. Ankles are not cool with hockey players, and he went straight off. So
yeah.
Tyson Barrie was recalled before this game, and I believe he was in. That's about it on that one. The Avalanche played pretty well, and they had a nice comeback, but came
not
up
enough.
Short, as they usually do. Yep. March 27th against the Flames in Calgary. Sad night for Calgary fans, I think. I think if any Avalanche fan had to go through this, I think Boston fans had to go through that. Avalanche really have never traded away somebody yet. No hopes of winning a Stanley Cup. Jerome Iginla has a no trade, but then he wanted to be traded, and he was a healthy first time he was healthy scratched in 400 something straight games. Or so I kind of feel for the Flames fans in a sense, in the fact that if the Avalanche ever traded away a Peter Forsberg or a Rob Blake or a Joe Sakic, I would not have been happy about it, no matter the circumstance.
The Avs only trade their money away, essentially. We're not going to resign you.
The Ryan O'Byrne move is a perfect example of that, and we'll talk about that coming up, too. But same type thing. So, Iginla was traded later that night to the Pens. It was to the Bruins done deal all the way through the show, and I'm on Twitter when Bob McKenzie actually tweets, Iginla to Pens. And, that's when everything happened.
Oh, yeah.
Right at that point. That was a kind of an interesting moment.
The question became whether or not Crosby called Iginla to say, come to the Pens. Yeah. Because if that happened, that's tampering.
Yeah.
And that's actually, you can't do that. You can't have a player call another player and say, "You please come to us." It's got to be a management thing. That's considered tampering.
Can you do that with free agents, or can you?
You can do it with free agents.
Okay,
yes.
Okay. Because I know they've done that.
But this is almost the same. It's not exactly the same. Don't start writing emails. Write emails. I don't care. Write an email.
Oh, got a new email address.
Oh,
avshockeypodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
I picked up Avs Hockey Podcast. So
well done.
You want to email us instead of follow us on Twitter? We'll go over all this information at the end.
Yeah.
Email us, avshockeypodcast@gmail.com.
Nice.
Keep going. Done. Sorry.
I totally lost my train.
That's totally my fault, too. Crosby calling again.
Right. So if it's a free agent, you can do it because whoop-de-doo. But right. if hours before free agency, if you call, and mind you, if somebody is signed to a multi-year deal with a strange salary structure 5 minutes after 5 minutes after free agency opened, obviously people were talking beforehand. It's all written rules that are not really followed, but it could have been considered tampering. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Whatever. He's in Pittsburgh, and then Crosby breaks his face.
Which, if Crosby hadn't broken his face, I'm really, really shocked that the Penguins messed with their chemistry as much as they had. Dude, it was working.
I saw your tweet. Yeah, that made sense.
They get Jerome Iginla in, boom, start losing. That doesn't mean it's Iginla.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that there was a chemistry there that was working. Eventually, they were going to lose. They've lost a couple since. Yeah. You got to start wondering, did they really make the right moves here?
Well, and then, but with a team with that much talent, they just need some time to be able to mesh. But now that Crosby's out, who may know?
I think about, Sundin. Mm-hmm. When Sundin went to the Canucks.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, this is going to be great. And I'm like, I'm not so sure.
Yeah.
And some very smart hockey people who I talked to were like, and this is not to say that they were dumb because of it. Like, any team that he goes to is going to be better because of it, because you move people, somebody down to another line. No, that's not how it works. You have to be, you have people who mesh, all these things, and sure enough, it didn't work out.
Well, and health always plays a factor, Kariya Solani.
Yeah.
There you go.
So this, welcome to the Flames Hockey Podcast.
This sounds like an altitude TV, where there's nothing to talk about on the ice, so let's talk about something else.
Yeah, except that we aren't kissing everybody's backside like
boop.
That.
Yeah, right on.
That is annoying, and I remember, Dario was tweeting about how annoying it was that they were sucking up to the Red Wings.
Right.
Praise the Red Wings. Like, nobody is happy with the altitude crew because if they're sucking up to the Avs, you're pissed. If you're sucking up to the other team, you're pissed. It's like,
well, and then if they're being honest and being totally negative, which they'll never be, it's just like, why so negative?
Yeah.
There's something good going on
out there. But Rycroft backs it up with facts.
Well, Rycroft, you trust a little bit more because he's
a player.
He's a journalist, but I think he's obviously player first.
Yeah, he's a player first. And, McNabb, he was a player, but that was back in the day.
Yeah.
That was when the glass wasn't as high, it was easier to climb.
Yeah, it gets discouraging, but so did the Avalanche.
So anyways,
Flames. Avalanche down 2 goals going into the second period. They were outshot 14-2 going into the second. Mm. Jamie McGinn scores a goal. Mike Camilleri scores 12 seconds later after that. Blah, blah, blah.
It's almost like the Avs have to prove to themselves that they can do something, and then they actually start chasing it.
And then that early goal actually crushes their dreams. Yeah. And then the Avalanche outshoot the same Flames 16-2 in the third period. But.
Man. Wow.
Matt Duchene, NHL leading. I think he's tied with, it was Mike Ribeiro or somebody with 24 faceoff wins in that game. So that was fun. Big tilt with featuring Patrick Bortoleau and Brian McGrattan. I will post a link to that off the YouTube, hockeyfights.com. It was ugly. It was one of those where you're watching them and you're just kind of cringing the whole time, but either way, it's hockey.
Oh, man, it was just a punch in the face contest.
I'm going to punch you in the face. You're going to punch me in the face. Let's go.
Let's just keep
they
going.
Were, but they were both a mess. I think Bortolo's hand was messed up again. It's been messed up all year, and McGrattan had a couple cuts. So,
and then, I remember seeing Claude Lemieux when he was playing with San Jose.
That's right. I remember you telling
him. He took off his glove, and his hand just looked like sausages.
Just meat.
Oh,
yeesh.
Jimmy Dean Maple.
And this game, it didn't feature the most exciting Avalanche game, but I think the most glorious post game ever. I think it has to be. It's just I think I heard it first.
Were you watching the post game when
happened? I was, and okay. I was trying to figure out because I didn't hear it right away. But then I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on, and so I rewound it a little
right
bit.
Right now, half the audience is going, "What the heck is it?" Yeah, they're talking about. The other half is just giggling, waiting for us to say the words. We're gonna throw it to penis.
Peter Peen. Oh, crap. So I kind of felt bad for Keefe. He was trying to wrangle the whole thing in, and Rycroft was not helping.
I wouldn't be helping either. No, I would be giggling so much.
It was a beautiful thing.
Oh, yeah. They were giggling like it was a My Little Ponies convention.
Absolutely. And Rycroft actually said, he says, "I wish I could be more mature about this stuff." And,
no.
You know, Mark, why? Thanks for not being.
Yeah. Can you imagine if Mark Mosier had been next to him? That would have been glorious.
It's over. They would have had to cut the commercial.
And then they cut. So Keefe says, we're going to cut to penis or something like that.
Penis.
He didn't actually say penis McNabb.
I think he was going to say Peter McNabb is or something like that. And it just came out as penis. Yeah.
And so he says penis. And, of course, everybody's losing it. Then they cut to Peter McNabb, and Peter McNabb's laughing about it.
Yeah.
And Kyle Keefe is just like, "Can we please move on?" Yeah.
They did great. And Keefe, actually, I'm a friend of his on Facebook, and he posted, you know, in my many years in live television, I've never had a moment like that. And he said Mark Rycroft sucks as a wingman and stuff like that. But I think it was great. Showed the human side of them so they're not these talking heads. And, you know, once it – I think Avalanche fans knew about it, and it made its way around a little bit. But then once Puck Daddy got a hold of it and a couple other places –
now
I think
it's hashtag Penis McNabb.
Hashtag Penis McNabb. That's all you need to know.
It's funny. If Mike Haynes had said it, I don't think he would have even noticed. I think he just would have kept on going and not even noticed they even said it. And
yeah. Something about Keefe. That works. It works. So
he knew.
Yes, he did. Penis. March 28th, Avalanche
such
at the
children.
Never claimed not to be. March 28th, the Avalanche at the Canucks. Avalanche are down 1-0, 4:27 in. Matt Duchene ties into the third. Yes! And the Canucks take the lead for good at 11:32 with glorious Sedin passing like we're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. Canucks win 4-1. I hadn't noticed this, but every once in a while, altitude will throw in alongside. They'll just kind of talk about things, and they'll try not to focus on them because it's just too depressing. But the Canucks are 18-0-2 in their last 20 games against the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yep.
The Avalanche haven't beat them for like 2.5 seasons.
And yet, all we ever hear about the Canucks is, they need this, they need that. They're weak here, they're weak there.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're talking to the wrong
fans.
They
don't have a – yeah, whatever, people.
Yeah. March 20th, the Predators at the Avalanche. Scoreless tie going into overtime, and Tyson Berry, of all people, scores the overtime winner.
Tyson Berry, good.
I see what you did there. Not bad.
Tyson Berry, I don't know.
Tyson Berry is the only Avalanche defenseman that has scored a goal on their roster.
Is he still?
They traded away the other one.
Oh, yeah. Big sexy. The thing is that I'm still not convinced about Berry being ready. I still think he needs a little bit of seasoning. Some people are really big on him. That's great. I'm not, you know, it's just a difference of opinion. But I wonder if he just looks good in comparison to all the crap that's around him.
Well, especially on the offensive end. I mean, he shows a potential of making up for some of the mistakes he makes in the defensive zone, whereas Greg Zanin, you know, no disrespect really, he has a hard time getting a shot on net. Mm-hmm. So it's like, well, yeah, at least he has that option. You know, I think Eric Johnson has that in a way too, but you get a guy like Jan Hayda, who, you know, will score a goal every couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Every single mistake he makes in the defensive zone, you know, he's probably not going to make up for it anywhere else. You know, he might make a good defensive play, but I think goals and assists help a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's comparable.
Well, it depends also on the talent that you're playing against, because these guys, you know, there are players out there, and we're going to talk about this a little bit when we get to one of the last games that we're going to talk about, second to last game we're going to talk about. They're just offensive men, you know, players that are going to make you look silly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because they are that skilled and that good.
Datsyuk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. And sometimes it is a blown coverage issue. You know, you just want to push somebody out to the outside and you blew it. But at the same time, there are guys that are just that damn good. You look at, there was a great systems analysis from the Bourne blog. It was Oilers versus Canucks, and just who's picking up who and how. But and he breaks it down in screen caps, but it's so fast.
Yeah,
that's all it takes is like one or two
absolutely
little shifts here and there, and a really good player is going to draw you into that.
In the NHL, that's going to happen all the time.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a Jan Hayda and he makes a mistake, and it's like, well, how fast did that mistake happen? Because that can be pretty fast.
Well, that's one of the things, you know, as you move up skill levels in any sport, the game is faster. Everybody's faster, and whatever you're playing with is going faster, too.
Hockey is hard.
It is. It's a very difficult sport. Thank you, Varley, by the way, on March 30th. He was fantastic. I didn't put down how many saves he had, but without some of the saves that he made, obviously the Avalanche don't win that game in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So, April 1st, I'm not joking here. The Avalanche down 3-0, second period. Varley gets pulled.
That's how we know you're not joking, because they were losing.
That's right. The Avalanche score 2 third-period goals, McGinn and Matt Duchene very late to get within one, and this was the same game many of us Avalanche fans have watched many times over the last probably 4 years. Avalanche lose 3-2 in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
April 2nd, Avalanche at the Preds. They play the Preds again. Matt Duchene. The Avalanche score the first goal in the game. They've done that 27 out of 38 games so far this year. They've given up the first goal. So one of the 11 games where the Avalanche have scored the first goal of the game.
Yeah, this was a game where I started saying, you know, are the Preds the only people that the Avs can play well against?
I think we shouldn't try and make that happen. The Preds score a power play goal in the third to tie it, and David Legwand, he's scored a few big goals against the Avalanche in the past as well. Scores with a little over a minute. This was one of those where I kind of looked at Greg Zannon and went, what are you doing on the final goal? I mean, I think it was Legwand beat Duchene off the puck, and Duchene ended up on his tail. I think it was McGinn that ended up taking the puck right in front of I believe it was Jiggy and Net this game.
Mm.
It was ugly. But anyways, what you got on Matt Duchene?
Matt Duchene, look, we've been talking about Matt Duchene, and we kind of went back to the other side of, you know, okay, he's been good, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing I'm seeing about Matt Duchene. He's still doing the same things that he was doing. He's just doing them better. He's mm-hmm. still trying to split the defense. He's still going in alone. And, you know, he's got crap defense. He's, you know, he's got some wingers that, sometimes he's got a good winger with him, sometimes he doesn't.
Parenteau.
And sometimes he's got a great opportunity on his own. But he's just doing the same stuff he was before, trying to split the defense, go in alone, you know.
That's all they've
just
got.
Just better. But it is.
That's all they've got.
When you're the second, you know, highest scorer on the team, I guess that it's hard to complain. But what he's not doing is making anybody around him better. And that's where my concern starts to come in.
Yeah, I can't argue with that, but him scoring solves a lot of that frustration. Sure. Instead of like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, he's definitely done a good job in the offseason. It's been a big story here since there's not much else to talk about where he's gone gluten-free and he worked out with Sidney Crosby. And well, what they found is that his body wasn't, you know, being able to take care of the gluten very well. So he took it out of his diet. It's amazing. So there's nothing else to talk about, but... So we'll see about Matt Duchene developing.
I haven't seen
story.
Him at my Whole Foods, so you know. That's all I'm gonna say about that.
How good can he be?
Trade deadline came up. Right away after that.
I was kind of frustrated. You know, it was what it was. So the Avalanche basically trade away one of their top defensive prospects, who has actually had some time with the Avalanche, to the Dallas Stars. This was Cameron Gaunce, by the way. Sorry. Mm-hmm. They traded him to the Dallas Stars for right wing Tomas Vinsuer, and he went straight to Lake Erie.
Yeah.
So you trade one of your top defensive prospects, who was probably next in line to come up if someone got hurt, and he's gone, and you get a minor league winger for him. And another move on the trade deadline day at the very last minute, Ryan O'Byrne traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs for a fourth-round pick in next year's draft.
What is it with the Leafs? They love Avs defensemen.
Well, you have an offer.
Finger.
Go ahead.
They get Hot Pocket.
Hot Pocket. And now they have Big Sexy.
Can we interest them in a Zanin by any chance?
We've got Greg Zanin.
Greg Zanin for you. He's got a beard.
Huh?
You know who Greg Zanin would be great to play with? Dion Phaneuf. Those two on the same line. Can you imagine? Just wow.
Phaneuf would beat the crap out of him during the game.
You are not a good salesman. You are not a good pitchman. We are trying to
be. I never claimed to be. You're the one that does all this stuff.
I don't know what I'm doing here.
But the thing is, Ryan O'Byrne, they trade him for basically nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to be an unrestricted free agent this summer. And they just, I guess it was one of those, well, we'd rather get something than nothing because we're not interested in signing him, or he's not interested in signing, or whatever is going on in the background. But not a very exciting deal there either. So my big thing is the Avalanche are pretty much satisfied with where they are.
Right.
They're not. They don't want to. It's pretty clear they don't want to get a ton better. You know, when they do that, I guess in a sense it just says that we're cool. We'll just stick with where we are.
Well, they did. No, they.
It's
did
not that. Like they're gonna like well, any trade is gonna make a playoff run right. feasible either. So,
but they did that already. They did that at the beginning of the season. They did that on the offseason when they re-signed just about everybody. That was the check mark on the season. The problem is that
including their coach.
Let's say you're a GM of a team, okay, and you want to get better for a playoff run or something like that. We're coming up to the trade deadline. Prices are higher at the trade deadline because everything's about your current playoff run.
Right.
So you have a need. Where do you go to fill that need? Are you going to go to the last place team? Probably not.
That's why they're in last place.
Exactly. So the only thing that you're hoping for from a team that's this bottom of the barrel that isn't going to make the playoffs, that, you know, like let's say bottom five teams, you're hoping for a fire sale on the actual assets because of a retool, of a restructure.
The prices are insane.
Insane. Sunday. It looks like the Avs aren't trying to trade anything, but you need a dance partner to trade.
Yeah.
And who are you going to get rid of? Are you going to get rid of Duchesne, Landeskog, O'Reilly? Okay,
Stastny. Stastny was on the IR too, so it was nice to stay away from those trade deadline quote unquote rumors this year. I heard the Leafs called about Stastny. I get that tweet every single season. I heard the Leafs want Stastny.
Why would the Leafs take a $6 million forward? That's my question. Why would they do that when they're hunting? When what their real hunt was for, let's say Luongo, who's a $5 million goalie and most of the time plays like it.
Motorcycle.
I think is that what that was?
Yes,
I thought it was a trumpet. So while it looks like the Avs are not making any trades, part of the problem is you need a dance partner. And there's, you know, who would dance with Sherman? Let's be honest here. One of the GMs told there was a what was it, Elliot Friedman in his 30 on 30 column said that who knows what the Avs are going to do because you never hear anything. Okay, so you're an antisocial organization.
Strike one.
All of a sudden you want to trade with somebody and you don't have any real assets that you want to trade.
And they're overpaid. Strike two.
Yep. So, and it's the trade deadline when all you want are things to either bring up your cup run or to retool.
Get something for something you'd probably get nothing for.
Three strikes, you're out of there.
See ya.
Yep. Yeah. So I'm sorry, but yeah.
Happy times. It was just, you know, and you got the old kind of spoiled crotchety Avs fans like James and I who have been used to over the years, you know, people just, you know, the Avs make moves so they can win.
Mm-hmm.
And those days seem to be over, I guess, for now. Moving on. Okay. April 5th, 2013, the Avalanche host the Detroit Red Wings. Pavel Datsyuk scores two goals. Sellout crowd. Tons of Wings fans there.
Mm.
Like lots. I think there was more Wings fans than there were Chicago Blackhawks fans. And that's actually saying a lot. The Avalanche give up a goal with, I think, 15 seconds left in overtime. Let's celebrate on top of Jiggy.
Oh, my God.
I know that kind of drove you nuts, but I watched the replay. I was there, so I really couldn't even see the puck go in from where I was. I mean, I could tell by how everybody reacted that it went in. But I like what Datsyuk did. You know,
he patted him on the shoulder.
Yeah, he got checked from behind. Yeah, you suck. But, you know, that's the Lady Bing coming out in him. But Jiggy, I know, wasn't in the celebrating move. I'm sure if he was.
He was mad.
He would have started chopping legs.
Yeah. It was just like, get the hell off me. Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Get off my lawn. So the angle, there was a replay of that goal, and the angle was from the corner to Jiggy's left. And Matt Duchesne, as soon as the score happened, Matt Duchesne is skating by, and he just kind of looks at the sky like, what?
Yeah.
The hell does it take to actually win a game?
Yep.
Like he just had this look of defeat. And the only person who stuck around back there was Matt Hunwick. And Matt Hunwick, who at first I was looking at this play and I was going, you know, I think Barry made the mistake here because Hunwick he should have released. Used. Yeah, he kind of released Zetterberg, but in fact, it was actually Hunwick going after Zetterberg. They were double teaming Zetterberg. Then basically Hunwick releases Zetterberg to Barry. Barry looks like he's beat when Zetterberg stops and goes back the other way. Hunwick then just lets go of Datsyuk.
No man's land.
And Datsyuk, one step around him, boom.
Easy.
So at first I was not pleased with Barry about that, but really it was It was, unfortunately, it was Hunwick. Matt Hunwick, great hockey player from the knees down.
Well, I mean, you can blame whoever you'd like to defensively, but there's not many matchups in the NHL that can really counter a Zetterberg Datsyuk up front on a 4-on-4 too. So a little bit of both.
A little bit of both. I mean, that's the thing. You know, everybody has their places. Everybody had that puck kicked out further from Giguere rather than just sit there in the crease, which, you know, then it wouldn't have been a goal, and we would have been in the shootout 15 seconds later, most likely.
They might still be in the shootout. Who knows?
Right now.
Now, Peter McNabb last night made up an interesting point. I was going to talk about
it. He made up an interesting point?
No, he didn't. Actually, he did. He made this up, but in a sense, it's true, and it's kind of scary. And the fact that he said stop.
Go ahead.
He said Matt Hunwick, top to bottom, has been the Avalanche's best defenseman this season. And it made me do that too, but the more you think about it, it's like, yeah, I guess so. I mean, Eric Johnson's been hurt, and when he's been in, he really hasn't done much. You got anybody else for me? Not Zanin, not O'Brien.
I feel like my soul is just dead.
Crushed.
Jesus.
But I mean, that's,
I actually haven't felt depressed about anything that much since this season until you mentioned that.
You're welcome.
Oh,
but that's, I mean, God, it does hurt, and it's
true.
It is true, too. I mean, damn. I'd like to say Eric Johnson would be the Avalanche's best defenseman top to bottom, but he's been hurt. And when he has been in, he really hasn't been that much of a factor. I mean, I tell you what. I mean, the
most ignored hockey porn of the season, by the way, from that game. Johnson with a big blast.
Man, come on. But, I mean, he had a terrible giveaway. Was that in overtime or was it late in the third period where he's trying to lead the puck up the ice and gets it ripped right at the Avalanche blue line and Zetterberg comes in by himself?
Yeah.
I mean, the game really shouldn't have gone into overtime, I think it was, because that's kind of what I was thinking.
But huge there.
Great save
by Giguere. And, by the way, Giguere, from the outset, looked like in net.
He did early. It looked a little bit better later.
But
I mean, how long can you be confident as Varley as Jiggy with what the Avalanche have to offer defensively?
Okay, yeah, but it's still your net. You have to play. And he just did not look, I mean, some of it could be, I don't know what my defensemen are going to do, but that could also just be us projecting what we think on that. Yeah. I just think that he was looking not very good.
Well, then there's the old phrase, like, show me a solid goaltender and I'll show you a solid coach, and that doesn't work either, so it's like,
not right now.
It's even worse.
Okay.
The Avalanche played well in this game, and that was kind of exciting. A lot of energy in the building, even if it was coming from Red Wings fans. And the Avalanche looked good, unlike last night when they get killed 4-0. Early goal in the game, 1:15 in, and the Avs were really not a factor in this game at all. It was kind of a waste of time to watch, except for Mike Smith trying to break Cody McLeod's stick.
I did not watch it because I was working.
There you go.
And you know what? And then I saw the tweets afterwards. I was like,
Forget it. Yeah, it was one of those where it's kind of frustrating. And I guess this is where the Avalanche are as an organization.
And also why we're the home for almost everything Avalanche, because I'm not going to watch every game.
No, I mean, you can. And last night, I have to admit, I switched and watched the Nuggets, and I watched the Rockies for a little bit. And it was a nice change because they're both looking pretty good, at least as of right now. So
you know how you can tell which team this city cares about? Who has tacos? Other than that, Nuggets have tacos.
The Avs have chips and queso if you're at the game.
There you go. It's a sad, sad state of...
Who wants tacos?
Yeah.
Well,
Avs fans. Known for their love of tacos.
Yeah. I tweeted this last night. Chris Marlowe is the play-by-play guy for the Nuggets, and he was talking about the structure of their organization, from the players to the coach to the roster to the GM, and how they're built for success. And no matter what happens to them as far as injury-wise, and they've proven it lately, they've looked great. And then I started thinking about the Avalanche, and I'm like... The Avalanche have really, I mean, they have a few of those factors, but not anywhere near. So what's the deal? And people bring it up a lot, and we continue to talk about this. And what's up? You know? So
not if only we knew.
Do we want to do depressing stats, or do we want to talk some other stuff real quick?
Let's hit the depressing stats. Take the razor blade away from your wrist for listening to this. These are depressing stats. Maybe this could become a regular segment on.
It could be. I mean.
Have a little sounder. Do, 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 do. It's depressing stats.
We could do like the Benny Hill
theme.
Uh-huh. We could do that. So we're 38 games in, and this is stuff altitude.
All right. Stats.
Avs had the lead going into the second period, 6 out of those 38 games, and they've won only 3 of those games. That's what we need. We need that sound effect. Avs have played 38 games so far this season. Mm-hmm. I mentioned this earlier. They've scored the first goal in 11 of those games. Nice.
I wonder how many of that came out. How many of those games are like after O'Reilly showed up? Because that seems like the line right there where everybody goes, well, as soon as O'Reilly got here, everything started going to heck.
No, here's your next one. The Avs were 8-3 when Ryan O'Reilly signed, and they're 4-13-2 since he's been back. He's played 19 games. He has 4 goals, 9 assists. He himself has been okay, but he's not the same $6 million Ryan O'Reilly that everybody would like to see. And the Avalanche have also...
I don't think he ever was.
Yeah, I haven't. That's true. I haven't posted... I didn't put this even in the notes, but I remember from last night. The Avalanche have lost 14 straight road games.
Mm-hmm.
14.
Mm-hmm.
That's over half your road games in a row.
In a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's over half your road games. Yeah. They haven't even played all their road games yet.
In a row, though. That's the thing. Yeah. I mean, you lose 14 all year, whatever. They've lost the last 14 road games. So there's your depressing stats. Every once in a while, they'll come out because the organization and the broadcasters have to talk about that. They don't dwell on them because it obviously wouldn't do any good. Right. But it's interesting to at least – it helps you wrap your head around kind of what we're watching, and it helps you make some sense out of it, if that even makes sense mm-hmm. to anybody listening right now. But
you know, I'm actually less depressed about those stats than I am about the Hunwick thing that you
brought up. Hunwick shadows over all those depressing stats.
Best Avs defenseman, Matt Hunwick.
Who would have thought that? I mean, I guess in a sense, good for him. But
I'd rather have Raymond Bourque now. Like 12 years on from the lifting the cup and retiring, I think I'd rather have him than most of the Avs.
My dad saw Joe Sakic at the golf club the other day, and he texted me because I was at work, and my dad's really nice like that, reminding me that I could be on the golf course, but I just told him to tell Joe to put his skates back on because this team needs him. So, let's talk about just some general stuff, and then we're good.
Yeah, we got questions. We got questions. Phil
Park, we appreciate the questions.
We got some questions from Phil Park, Philly the Fool. That's PHILLY_the Fool on Twitter. First, before we get to these, let me put a little disclaimer in here. The Avs Hockey Podcast is not in the locker room of the Avalanche, not associated with the team. That's why we can say what we actually think. And we have no idea about anything. So there.
The end.
That's our disclaimer. He had a couple questions for us. And, you know, because there's so much stuff to talk about that sucks, we love it. I mean,
absolutely.
This is great.
This gets me excited. Yeah. That's the cool thing about the Avalanche playing anyway, mm-hmm. for the most part. We have something to talk about.
Yep. So he kind of had three things that they wanted us to talk about and get our thoughts on. So let's just take on. The first one is how much is it Sacco's fault for the Avs' inconsistency? Here's the thing for me. The problem with the Avs right now isn't just the coaching. It's the culture. It's the culture of the team. There's a losing mentality. There's the whole, you know, corporate messaging that of everything's okay.
McNabb likes to call out the "here we go again" when they give up that early goal. Here we go again.
Yeah.
So there's that too.
And so is it Sacco's fault? He's not. I think that there's actually some smart things he's done. I think there's some things that he's just freaking tried because
there's nothing else to do.
Yeah. Five offensive guys on the power play looks ridiculous. It's silly.
Sure does.
Yet at least he's trying something because, man, you got to try something, and it wasn't working before. So yeah. Try and something.
My take is, what is he given to work with too?
Yeah.
And he can only do what he can with what he's given. Mm-hmm. And in a sense, I don't necessarily feel bad for him because I don't think the coach can totally make or break a team. A lot of people are calling for his head right now too. Mm-hmm. He signed a 2-year deal last summer. Do you fire a guy and have a season and 10 games left to pay him, and then everything's all better? I think it's going to take more than a new coach, and it's going to take more than Seth Jones or somebody really good that they'll get probably in a top 3 pick that's going to turn this whole thing around.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much work to be done right now.
Right.
So I don't necessarily blame Joe Sacco as much as I think a lot of people would like to, but he's definitely, I wouldn't say he's part of the problem, but he's right there. So he's not given much, so I try not to mess with him too much. But
I'm looking at also that – look at the players and how we're talking about what their individual issues are. A system is not going to overcome that.
No.
A system is not going to make Greg Zanin get in the right place instinctually.
The system has made Matt Hunwick their best defenseman so far this year.
A system is not going to make Eric Johnson score.
Mm-mm.
You know, that's on the player, not on the coach.
And I think there's pretty dynamic, but I don't think people should blame Sacco quite as much as he's being blamed, although it's the easy and kind of the thing that people have always done.
You can't fire an entire team.
No.
So you can get rid of the coach. As much as you'd like to. And yeah, it's so I'm starting to wonder, you know, where's the assistant coaches in this?
They're leaving. Mm-hmm. They're leaving.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, I don't know. It's a mess kind of top to bottom.
Now, Jay, I have not been Mr. Team Sports in my life like you have. You were college baseball. You've been in the locker room. You've had much more coaching experience with coaches than I have. We hear as fans always that a person, you know, coach loses the team, loses the room. How much of a factor is that in reality for a team like this?
I think it's a big factor, but I think the thing that has led to losing the room isn't necessarily the coach's fault. Yeah. Now it'll be the coach that usually goes. But I've coached teams that we've lost before as well, and it's not a fun place to be. And you get these little indicators, like when the Avalanche win in overtime, everybody goes crazy, everybody's happy, and then within the next couple of games, you're right back where you started. It's pretty miserable.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's because the coach loses the room. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's the coach's fault either. It could be some of that team chemistry, which Phil had also asked about before as well. Mm-hmm. I think this team does have some chemistry that they can build off of, but there's some aspects that aren't there that need to be there, and I mean we can talk about those with some upcoming stuff. But
I would say this: if they got rid of Sacco and they got, let's say, the best coach that's out there right now, Lindy Ruff, what's he actually going to do with this roster?
That's the thing. Hey, you fire Sacco, you get rid of him, he's gone, and then they continue to get it'll probably be a little bit better for a little while, but if you end up right back where you started, what's the use? That's just wasted money then.
Right.
So is it just wait until his contract runs out or, you know, whatever? But that's where I kind of balked at the 2-year deal.
I'd rather waste the money than start on a path that maybe gets you somewhere. But again, where's the issue? Does the question, of course, being does the issue lie with Sacco or does it lie somewhere else? Well, what they have to work with, that's a GM issue. Right. And the GM is, you know, there's a problem there if he keeps bringing in crappy defensemen, if he can't evaluate, you know, maybe the scouting staff isn't evaluating well. Who knows? It could be a top-down problem.
Sounds like a system issue, and it's a lot more complicated than Sacco being gone. Yeah. I don't think there's any Avalanche fan that would argue with that one.
All right. So. I mean, well, you know what? I'll say this. I wouldn't cry if he was gone.
No, I don't think I would either, but it's not like I root for someone to lose their job either.
But fans also, and this has been something consistent with the Avalanche, you know, if you have, we had Joel Quenneville, and everybody hated Quenneville because he mixed up the lines. A couple of years later, he's winning a cup. Now, he's winning a cup with a totally different roster.
Right.
He wins the cup with a Blackhawks team that really did rebuild. And rebuild is that word that everybody's afraid of, because if you're rebuilding, then you have the potential of losing fans because they aren't going to go to the games, which I think is a bunch of crap.
Poppycock.
Exactly. Hooey. Yeah. Because Avs fans know that there's a rebuild needed.
Right.
So don't lie to the fans.
Well, and just because you have a good roster, just because you have a good goaltender, just because you have a good GM, just because you have a good coach. Now, if you have combinations of those, that's one thing. But if you have one or maybe two of those things, it doesn't guarantee you're going to be successful either.
Nope.
Ask the New York Yankees. I mean, they have the best roster that their money can buy. Mm-hmm. They're getting older, and there's a lot to this, and it's a combination of a lot of stuff, not just roster and coach, and that's it. And when you find that great combination, like Ken Holland has in Detroit for many, many, many years, it's a pretty cool thing to watch.
Yep.
I mean, not when you're opposing the Red Wings, but and it doesn't come. It's not that easy. It's not that easy to find the right people. It's not that easy to find the right players.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to find the right mix of players. So
a good coach is really not going to make a bad player good.
And a good goaltender isn't going to save a team from, I mean, like Luongo in Florida. And he's setting records for saves in a season. Is that what he really wants to do?
Well,
and then he goes out. Yeah. He's been pretty successful. I mean, no Stanley Cups, but I mean, yeah. I mean, he's done a good job, and he's a solid goaltender. Yep. Does he help make everything better? Sometimes, but you need more
to pump his tires.
That's right. He's money on Twitter, though.
He is. Oh my god, it's so funny. All right, Strombone.
Strombone 1, I believe it is. Yeah.
The second question is from Phil. Was how much is it the Avs are a young team and need to learn to play together to win? Yes, some. Yeah, no.
I'm not sure if it's as young as much as chemistry. Chemistry, yeah. I don't think it matters whether you're young or old. If you have a good combination of players that get along well personality wise and can compliment each other on the ice, and I don't mean like, hey, nice play.
Right.
I mean like really compliment each other. And if you had enough depth to be able to overcome anybody else's great players,
right.
I mean that's so. I've never used youth as a now the team might.
Excuse?
I've heard that the team, you know, well, we've got some young players and we're growing and we're going
to
get better.
Right, but that's also marketing.
That's nice. There's a little difference to that, but I don't think their age has anything to do with how they're playing right now.
Right. Well, and it kind of leads into the next question: is there a lack of veteran leadership in the locker room? I think yes, no, maybe, but
I think veteran's kind of a catchy word right there. How about is there a lack of leadership in the locker room? Because
Hayduke's a veteran, but I would not call him a leader. Mm-hmm. He wasn't comfortable with the captaincy. He's a quiet guy, and he's been a good player. He's been aging. You know, he's not been aging like a fine wine lately, but he's getting past that.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, it's again, we talked a little bit about Ryan Smith in the same thing, the same vein. You know, people were talking a lot of smack about Ryan Smith, and they were talking about him because he was getting older. That's what people do.
Yeah.
And I'm no spring chicken. It's not like I lost all my hair because I'm, you know, Benjamin Buttoning it. Come on. But
Tamo Solani is like,
okay, but he also was he's had that talent. He's also been, you know, and I'm sure, and he's a little bit quieter of a guy too. And he's also not, they don't need as much on the Ducks when they have your franchise players of Perry and Getzlaff.
Right. Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And, you know, and a coach that is very much a player's coach. That's a turnaround from the way that that Carlisle was.
And there's that combination I'm talking about. I'm talking about the right combination of players on the ice. So the Avalanche have Jiggy. They have, you know, I've never doubted Gabriel Landeskog's ability to lead. I mean, he's obviously, like, I was not surprised when they named him the captain. But again, when it comes to Landeskog, though, too, has he ever struggled like this in his career? I mean, coming up, I guarantee you, he was the best player on every team he played on. Mm-hmm. He was probably captain everywhere, and they probably won as well. I mean, that's, you know, basically your number two pick in the drafts doesn't come off of, you know, a crap team, and he's just this great player for the most part. So I think he's dealing with something that he's never had to deal with too.
Right.
He's 20 years old. He's the captain of the team. He's
already had a concussion.
I'm sure he's bugging the crap out of him. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's bugging the crap out of all these guys. So does that make him a bad leader? No, he's probably just trying to work through something he's never.
But the question of veteran leadership is always something that you see, especially at trade deadline day. You know, when you get you get those players in that you want somebody in there who's been there before when you're making that run.
Bork, Anderchuk. Those types of moves. Yeah.
Who was it with the Penguins? Why can't I think of it? Who it was
this year?
No, a couple of years when they won the cup. Who'd they bring in that was really
Mark Recchi?
Yeah, that was a really good one.
Yeah,
because he was that veteran presence,
sure,
that had been there before and done it.
And he won. Yeah, he won a cup in Carolina.
And they tried to do the same thing with Doug Weight in the Islanders. And maybe this is a good example. Doug Weight goes to the Islanders
Islanders. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. There wasn't a lot else there. Yeah. I mean, I think that was like maybe the first or second year of Tavares, but he was there to be that veteran presence. But the veteran presence is only going to do so much when you know, with that combination like you're talking about. So is there a lack of veteran leadership in the room? Well, yes. Would that make a big difference? It's harder to say at that point because then – now we're getting into, well, is there something worth leading or worth turning around or that will respond to that?
Yeah, and I think Jiggy has shown that, and I'm sure the team looks up to Jiggy as that person, and he actually called everybody out, you know, and had no problem telling the press about it.
He called everybody out, and boom, what do they do? Nothing again.
Yeah.
If your goaltender who's
– Veteran goaltender.
If your veteran goaltender who has won a Stanley Cup, who probably should have been in that Stanley Cup win, should have been runner-up for Conn Smythe, who won the Conn Smythe as a losing goaltender who carried a team on his back all the way through the 2003 playoffs. Phenomenal. Has been around the block. He's been in the pressure cooker of Toronto. He's come back from injuries. And if you can't respond to something like that guy calling you out and going, hey, we're better than this and we need to start
to work harder.
Like it,
that's right.
Then you have a problem that isn't going to be solved necessarily by, you know, you've got an issue in the room that isn't a veteran leadership issue as much as just being able to be led, maybe.
That's right. I mean, my answer to all this stuff is it's so complicated, yeah, and that's what's frustrating.
You know what I look at? What I saw the other day was P.A. Parento, and this was unimpressive to me, where he was it seemed like everything that happened, he was like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
Eh. You know, there was that weird goal that he scored, and he was just like, eh, yeah, whatever, who cares? It was weird. It was almost like he was like, well, I didn't mean for that to happen, but he didn't even seem happy. Yeah. He doesn't seem happy at all. It's like and sometimes, you know, he'll get a goal and he'll be like, yeah, and then sometimes it's like, eh. Yeah.
He probably makes that noise too. The one thing I can guarantee all the fans out there, I mean, one, obviously it's complicated. Two, these guys care. Mm-hmm. Believe me, they don't come off the ice and they don't fly home happy and they're just joking around. Right. Believe me, these guys haven't gotten to this level without the type of drive that it takes to get to this level.
Right.
And they don't like it. No one likes it. And, you know, I guess it can be labeled as apathy, mm-hmm, from the organization, and it might be from up top, but I can guarantee you that the coaching staff and the players, they're miserable. And they're obviously probably more miserable than the fans. And I think that's saying something. Now, for those of you that are out there talking about, you know, suck for Seth and tank for another top pick, there's not one Avalanche player that would agree with anything like that. Because that pick is going to come and is going to take somebody's job. And those players do not want that job to be theirs.
Yeah.
So for anybody thinking that's the case, it's just not. And if you're the type of fan, I guess this is one thing I can agree with fans on. If you're the type of fan that says it's good that they lost, we have something to talk about, because I don't think losing ever solves any issues. Sure, mm-hmm, it'd be good to have a good draft pick. Everybody would love to have a good draft pick. But believe me, they're not out there wanting to lose, and losses should never be celebrated.
You know what? I think long term, I think that there is some value in it in a way, but maybe in a different way. Like the way
these
I look at it,
these guys don't think long term. I can guarantee you that too.
Well, they don't want their job taken.
Absolutely.
But like I look at the San Jose Sharks, and I think the best thing for that franchise would be to miss the playoffs. And that sounds like, well, wouldn't the best thing be to make the playoffs? No, because they keep saying that, okay, we need to make major changes, and then they change one guy or nothing happens. And then they continually down that slide. And the Avs were kind of like that for a while. They've had their miss the playoffs. They've had their times. The Sharks need to miss the playoffs so that they actually go, oh, this is valuable. This is why we want to be in the race. And when you keep making it to just squeaking into the race and it doesn't really prove to you that you actually need to do something. Yeah. For all the Avs fans out there that were laughing at the Oilers a couple of years ago for all the first round picks that they were getting, hey, guess what? Guess where the Avs are at? Yeah. Exact same place.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, I hate to say it, but, you know, our Pete's Kitchen, we had some breakfast burritos today, but there was a special on Crow, my friend.
I forgot to mention that. As far as, yeah, we're fueled by Pete's Kitchen yet again today. Colfax and Race. Those of you that live in Denver, if you haven't gone to Pete's Kitchen and gotten your burrito supreme, mm-hmm, get there. And they're not paying us.
The Avs Hockey Podcast is in no way associated with Pete's Kitchen, any of its food, their tasty breakfast burritos, or Chipotle burritos. Yeah.
I paid for the burritos, so we're good. So.
Okay, we got to wrap this up, unfortunately. Thank you, Phil. Yes, Phil. Hope that kind of helps. On.
Go ahead.
No, you do it.
If there's anybody else that would like to, I mean, we love the questions. It's something that we can very simply favorite on our timeline and then go back to.
It's probably less thrilling than having Kyle Keefe read your name on the air or whatever, but hey, we're here too.
We can't guarantee that we'll throw in like a Penis McNabb type thing, but if you have something you'd like us to talk about, tweet us.
Penis McFeen.
Nah, it's not as good. That's not near
it's as not good. As good, but it sure does feel good.
Wait.
Moving on.
Go. Hurry. Hurry.
Okay.
So if you'd like us to talk about something, find us on all the places that James is going to talk about here.
Did you want to complain about the Twitter feed, or you want
there
to
is, there's going to be plenty of time to talk about the Avs Twitter feed in the future.
Okay.
So
anyways,
I'm not happy with it. Really, nobody is. I'll come up with some more specifics, and we'll talk Avs Twitter feed in the future.
Yep.
So just a couple of shout-outs. For me, Anthrax Jones, always appreciate the – Jarrell, I always appreciate the conversation. He was even bringing in what the Pens were and what they are now. He was saying that when the Pens were playing like the Avalanche are right now, mm-hmm, they lowered ticket prices, built a fan base, got some good picks, mm-hmm, and here they are. He says there's more momentum built now than there was in the Lemieux Stanley Cup days. Yeah. Now, I think it was a long process in between, and there were some ownership issues, and I'm sure they lost some money, and you know, Mayor Lemieux had to come in and save him, basically. But they were able to make some changes in how they sold their product, get people there. and it's really literally paying off now in a lot of different ways. So it was good to talk to him about
that. The top prospects that worked out for them. Obviously, Sidney Crosby. Obviously, there's only one Sidney Crosby, and right. you know how many of those come around. Well, I just said there's only one, so pay attention.
he's unique.
Evgeny Malkin and Marc-Andre Fleury, all top picks. Malkin was second overall. The other two were first overalls. It pays off, and so while we can preach patience, and the team wants us to have patience, the coach wants us to have patience. Nobody has patience because we've seen that, you know. But 1996 Avalanche built on some top prospects that finally were coming around, some top picks that were finally coming around. And also, of course, there was the Lindros trade, which was a number one overall pick, and they moved people in.
Yeah, some smart moves in between.
Building out of that draft, or out of those drafts. Another example, real fast, Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah.
It can happen. Is the reason to stick around.
But it's not guaranteed.
No, it's not guaranteed. But there is good reason to stick around. And even though the Oilers still have some goaltending issues, even though they have a few defensive issues here and there, they've got a lot of stuff to build around.
Yeah.
Patience can work. It just sucks that it's taken
so long. Yeah, and I'm not ready to
suck so bad to get there.
I'm not quite ready to preach patience, because I think some people at the beginning of this season were more convinced that the patience was going to pay off than they are now.
Mm.
So it could work. Stay tuned.
There's nothing else for me to do. I'm an Avs fan, so what am I going to do? You know, am I going to go, well, screw this. I'm going to go follow the Blackhawks. I'm going to go follow the Blue Jackets. I don't think so. No,
Blue Jackets are actually close to the playoffs.
They're really close. Good for them.
Yeah,
I was at game four of their only playoff appearance when they got swept by the Red Wings. I was at the fourth game of that when they got swept out, and it was an awesome atmosphere. That fan base needs that so bad.
Absolutely.
Good for them.
Yep.
John Davidson, man, turning that around.
What was his tagline when he was in the booth? He used to say something all the time.
Oh,
baby. Was it? Whoa, baby.
Look at that cheeseburger. I think that's what he said.
Also want to give one more shout out to Graham Poor. Graham is from the UK. He says, I'm an Avs fan of the UK, a big fan of your podcast. Just want to say thanks. The show's great, and keep up the good work. So, Graham, thank you for listening.
Sorry this one fell apart.
There's your shout out. No big deal. James has a couple as well.
Carmen Hansen, who I went to school with back in the day, saw her at the game the other day. She had a little youngster with her that had a pink jersey on, and I just made so much fun of.
He totally trolled the youngster.
Yeah,
And he's not sorry for it.
Kick me in the shins for it. And Emily Robson, Crazy Girl Emmy on Twitter, for wearing those high heels, man. She is already super tall, and she's wearing the high heels, so you don't have to.
She says they're lucky, but
no,
they're not working.
Not right now. Skyway to the danger zone, because she is up there.
Skyway to the danger
zone. Can I do the thing?
Do the thing.
I'm going to do the thing.
Do the thing.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. I'm bringing the thunder. Okay, look, people, if you go there, you can make comments. You can, like, there's a little thing that says, you know, no comments yet. If you click on that, you can make one. They're cool. They're like, you know.
It's magical.
I'm not begging you.
Leave your digital footprint. You
do
are
what
begging.
You want to do. Yeah. I mean, you know, but it just says no comments yet.
And all that the cool means kids do.
That's an invite. Then you click and it makes a comment. But if you don't want to, that's okay, because you can even call us if you wanted at 845-704-RINK. It's 845-704-7465. It's a great little number, and it has a little voicemail on it. You say something to us, and we say it back, maybe. But if you want to wear something with pride, don't do it with the Avs jerseys.
No.
No, do it with a curse word shirt.
Hey, if you can represent this year, literally.
You could totally represent.
Absolutely.
I've
got the season for you kids.
Your HTML style CSS swearing will actually represent the Avs just as much as they deserve right now.
That's right.
Curseword.net.
Worn with pride.
Yeah, go to the Facebook fan page. It's facebook.com/AvsHockeyPodcast. And Jay's on Twitter, AVSHKY podcast. And we have a new email for you, by the way. Jay, what's that email?
AvsHockeyPodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, man. Gmail. It's free.
Yeah. So if you're
they give you things for free, and then they track you for it.
Sell your soul to Google.
Yeah.
I know not everybody's comfortable on Twitter or on Facebook to send a message or whatever.
I'm not comfortable. I don't even know how this keyboard works.
He fakes it really well. Email us.
And I'm good.
AvsHockeyPodcast@gmail.com. You cover your Twitter.
My Twitter is tapeleg, T-A-P-E-L-E-G. I blog over at jerseysandhockeylove.com. And you can find me on the streets crying into an Avs-colored hanky.
He'll be the one wearing the Avs jersey inside out.
I'm the bald guy.
Also, some love to Third String Goalie, who featured one of my jersey projects on their blog today. I'll post a link to that. So those of you who are jersey fanatics and love jerseys like James and I do, check out Third String Goalie. A lot of great things. My buddy Jeff runs the site, and he does a really, really good job with more in-depth than you'd ever imagine. But Jeff and everybody at Third String Goalie, thank you for the love. And I don't know. I don't know what to tell you as fans. I guess hang in there. There's 10 games left.
Hey, what else are you going to do? You know what? When we get to the playoffs, we can all pick some teams to like go, okay, it'd be nice if they made it or whatnot. You know, sell your soul for the playoffs. It'll be fine. And then, you know what? We're going to come back and it's going to be fine. We're, you know, the team's still going to be in town. They're not going anywhere. So what else are we going to do?
We'll reorganize, re-energize, and get excited all about it. I guarantee you, come training camp, we'll all be excited again.
Yep.
It's just tough. Things can't always go the way you want.
Yep.
But if you try sometimes, you just might find.
Is that a kid's song?
Get what you need. No, it's... that's Rolling Stones, dude. All right. James?
Oh, that's right.
James, thanks. Okay. Anything else you want to say?
No.
Sad. Hang in there, buddy.
Hang in there.
Yay.
Little kitten poster. I'm gonna get one of those kitten posters. You're gonna put it on the wall next time.
You're gonna cover up your angry kitten.
Put a little Avs logo on chest is hanging.
Yay. We'll be all right. It'll be fun. Until then, we'll just hang in there and watch hockey.
We're just going to keep bringing the thunder.
Hope the Avalanche team. That's what we do. So 10 more games. We'll be back in your holes probably after those 10 games and break down the season and off season and talk about a bunch of Avs and hockey stuff like we do.
Mm-hmm.
All right, James. Have a good one, dude.
Thanks.
All right, everybody else, we'll come at you in a couple weeks. Until then, take care. Let's go Avs. And we'll see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. Later.
What's a hoser?
A hoser is, I learned this, I was listening to the Calgary-San Jose game on the way home from the Avs game the other night.
Whose call?
It was the San Jose call.
Okay.
But this was a commercial. And a hoser, when you're a hoser, back in the day when you lost, they didn't have Zambonis. So the losers had to hose down the ice.
Really?
That's a hoser.
I'm not sure if I'm buying that.
You're a hoser.
You're a hoser.
Hey, take off, you hoser.
Don't take off before you hose down the ice there, because we got to do some skating.
We're next.
Or else there'll be a Donnybrook.